Hey, good morning, and so glad that you're here. I want to say a special welcome to you, and welcome to Second Baptist Church. And if you're a guest with us, thank you so much for being here. We'd love to connect with you. There's a couple ways that we can do that. There's a card in the pew back in front of you, or you can go to our website, sbcr.org. There's a button that says, I'm new. You can fill either one of those out, and it's a way for us to connect, know who's worshiping with us this morning. And we just want to say thank you so much for joining us here in person, or if you've joined us online, thanks for doing that and looking forward to worshiping the Lord together. Let me say thank you so much for praying for me and Matt and our team. We had an incredible week. Here in a few minutes after we spend some time singing to the Lord and worshiping the Lord together, I'll come and before I preach, I'll give you a report on our trip and just really excited to share with you some information about that. I got a couple quick videos and a picture that we'll show you as well. I think hopefully be a blessing to you. Just pay attention to your bulletin. There's announcements and some information in there you want to be aware of. Planning to have Bible study with the pastor this Wednesday. And then notice our office is closed on Thursday so that our staff can enjoy the holiday. Hope that you do as well. Grateful to be home. It was fun. Fun week, and then just getting home. There's something about getting home in America and the soil and just being here and just getting home. I've enjoyed the travel, and so it's fun this week. We get to celebrate the independence of our nation and just grateful for how God has blessed our country and just thankful for that. Some trips coming up, still a couple other mission trip opportunities. If you'd like to be a part of that, you can see myself or Jonathan. We can give you information about either one of those trips. And then obviously we're also trying to take a group to Camp Siloam. And so if you know somebody interested in that, be sure to get with Jonathan as soon as possible so we can make plans and arrangements for that camp as well, okay? All right, well, let's pray together and then we're going to sing together, all right? Lord, you're good and gracious and kind. Thank you for today. Thank you for your love and mercy. I pray that in all things we would be glorified this morning. Jesus, I pray that you would meet with us today. Help us to honor you in all that we say and do. We love you and praise you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us as we sing, There's Power in the Blood?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Passion and pride. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's shrine. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Whiter, much whiter than snow. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the prayer. Blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily as praises you sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power.
I saw some of you actually trying to clap on that song. That's amazing. We can sing and kind of keep beat sometimes on those songs, right? Amen. Are you warmed up this morning? Did that get your mouth moving a little bit? Let's continue to sing praise to our King. But I remember that day. It was January 3rd, 1982, about 8:30 in the evening. I knelt down beside my mom and dad's bed, and I asked God to forgive me. I repented of my sins. And you know what? I was out of the darkness into glorious day. I remember that moment. Do you? Maybe you weren't there when in my moment, but what about your moment? That's the truth, y'all. We ran out of the grave into glorious light. And I remember walking down the hallway to my mom. I don't know if I ran or if I flew, but because I was in glorious light, it was a new day. I was living. I was brought back to life. That's why we sing these truths, to remind ourselves of the goodness of God and just how He loves us. And He doesn't want us to stay in the darkness any longer. He doesn't want us to stay in the grave. And I don't know if that's you today. Maybe you came here today and you don't know Jesus. Let me encourage you this morning. He's calling you from darkness into light. And He wants to bring you back to life.
I won't forget the moment I heard you call my name. Out of the grip of darkness into the light of grace. Just like Lazarus, oh, you brought me back to life. Where there was dead religion, now there is living faith. All of my hope and freedom I found in Jesus' name. Just like Lazarus, oh, you brought me back to life. No longer I who live, but Christ in me, for I've been born. Price you paid. When something says I'm not worthy, I'll point to that empty grave. Just like Lazarus, oh, you brought me back to life. No longer I who live, but Christ in me, for I've been born again. Brought me. You brought me back to life.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe that's what you're going to say in this song. Thank you, Jesus. Can we thank Him enough this morning? Do you find that your words are inadequate? That's me this morning. I hope that you continue to thank Jesus for His blood.
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the reach was far too wide. From the far side of the chasm, You had me in Your sight. So You made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. There at the cross You paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul
for the first time I hope.
Thank You, Jesus, for the blood of mine. Inside my tomb of sin, You were buried for 3 days,
but then You walked right out again. Now death has no sting, and life has no end.
For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank You, Jesus, for the blood. Brought me from
Well, amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 22, and here in just a moment I'm going to preach to you on the topic of prayer. Before I do, I want to give you a report, if that's all right, on the past, I don't know how many days, I don't know much right now, but past several days, nonetheless, of trip to Ghana. Thank you so much for praying. Praise the Lord. I think it was probably in terms of travel too, and just the smoothness, if you will, of the week and coming home, all that. This is my third trip, and it was the smoothest by far, and so praise the Lord for that. And we had a great team. There were 10 of us in total. I left out of Little Rock. Most of the team left out of Tulsa, and then Matt left out of Jacksonville. We all met in Atlanta and then continued on. And so, man, just an incredible, incredible week. Let me just say, you should be extremely proud of Matt, and he did a phenomenal job. Just very well prepared. He worked hard to prepare notes. He prepared lessons out of the book of James, and so he had four lessons prepared, and it just reminds you, and some of you don't know Matt. Matt came to know the Lord just a little bit less than 2 years ago, and in that 2 years, he spent a lot of time in the Word and growing, and he and Adam both, and Matt just growing and in the Word, and spent some time with me and some other guys just going through discipleship, and Jonathan's invested a lot in him and some of those guys. And, he went with Memphis with me last year, led his first person to the Lord, led four or five people to faith in Christ last year. And starting in January, he had four or five other guys from football, he and Matt, and they had a discipleship group and investing in those guys, but never really stood in front of to teach. And the idea is going and teaching pastors and church leaders. And so standing up in front in that context, never been out of the country, having to work through a translator, standing in front of guys to teach or whatever, there's a lot of intimidation, a lot of things there. And so you should be extremely proud, and your investment in him and just really did a wonderful job. He learned a lot this week, and a lot of his eyes are open to a lot of different things, and so he really did a wonderful job, and just really proud of him. So we spent some time teaching leaders and pastors and church leaders. We had four ladies that went, so they invested in ladies through that time, and then we were able to go travel into villages and to share the gospel, and those that responded asked them if they want to plant a church there in their community. And so just a really great week. It's much more than this. I've got a couple of videos I'm going to show you. Matter of fact, talking about Matt, I've got a really short clip here I want to show you, and this is Matt teaching. Matt is sharing the gospel. So there's been about three or four, I'm trying to remember, we had planted three churches at this point. And so he had got to see this a few different times before we just threw him into the lion's den, so to speak. And so he is standing here, and it's a really short clip, but you catch a little bit of him and him presenting the gospel here in this village. So let's show this to you if we've got it ready. Oh, might need
that. Sin separates us from God. When we lie, we steal, we get angry at one another, that is wrong in the eyes of God.
Yeah, so it's short. There's here, there's probably about, it's hard to see all of them. I'm sitting down when I'm taking that video, and so I don't know. There's 75 to 100 people, and we're gathered under, the meeting place for most of these villages. There would be a big mango tree, or some tree there, and that's where you just gather. And they have a lot of community meetings and all that sort of thing, and community leaders, village leader meetings there, whatever. So we're just gathered up there in this community. We've driven pretty long ways to get there, and so he's sharing the gospel. And praise the Lord. This is Francis on the right there next to him. Translator, works for Moose. He does a phenomenal job. Really good translator and really does well explaining the invitation time, the call to repent, place faith and trust in Christ. You're going to see him in just a moment again. But then the talking about would you like a church and so on and so forth. And so so they give the gospel here, and I don't remember how many, but there were several of these individuals that repented and placed their faith and trust in Christ, and so got to plant a church there. And then Matt had the honor to name that church. And so I believe he named it Resurrection Baptist Church, I think is the name that he gave to that church. And so really neat, excited about that. Now, we went through and we ended up just going, and we did a lot more training and things this year than what we've done in years past. And so that was good, investing and doing that sort of thing. And but then later in the week, we got to do a little bit more of the church planting. One of the things that we noticed this year, in some of the areas, particularly south of Pondai, you have some denominations, other denominations coming in, and what's happening is that some of these denominations are coming in, and they're really taking advantage of folks and trying to, honestly, it's a grab for money and power. And so early on in the week, we were noticing a hesitancy to respond, to repent, place their faith and trust in Christ, because there was concern over what denomination. Is this something about denomination or joining church? And there was a lot of hesitancy because there had been in some areas where they're hearing about these denominations coming in, trying to take advantage and all this sort of thing. And so it's really unfortunate. And so there is some presence of Christianity there, but most of the presence there, what little there is, it is very prosperity heavy, very much trying to take advantage of folks and money and all that sort of thing. It is not true gospel presentation. So we run into that and just really praying through that, and we have seen some struggle and not as many people responding to the gospel, and man, the enemy just using that to create some confusion. And so it took us a little bit sort of figure out what's going on. But I tell you what it did is it helped me be mindful, especially of that time of invitation, that calling a person to a decision, that is such spiritual warfare. That, you know, we would present the gospel and then seem like we'd get to the point where it was time to make a decision, call people to, and we hand that off to Pastor Francis and Abraham, guys who live and grew up there, and let them handle that. But we noticed, man, there was oftentimes some distraction, and man, that's when the enemy would really rear up and create diversion. And to be honest with you, just as you're, it's not all that different than here in America. Oftentimes I see preaching and whether it's me preaching, other guys, and just a sweet service or whatever the case may be, then it come time the invitation, the enemy wants to move in and create distraction when there's a call for us to respond either to the message of the Word of God or to a call to respond for repentance and faith. And so we just began to be really mindful of when that came and just really earnestly begging God for clarity, for boldness, and for people to respond to the gospel. And so we had a great week. I'll give you some statistics in a moment. Let me tell you one story. I got a picture I'll show you in a minute, and then another video I want you to, I hope will, man, bless your heart the way that it does me. And so we had, particularly the last few churches we planted, kind of starting with Matt's, and then the next one or two, again, that hesitancy to respond. And so then we're talking to our guys there going, hey, what's going on? What's the issue? That's when we're finding these things out. So we're just praying. We're getting an invitation and just praying, God, pray there be clarity, et cetera. And so I got to plant the first one of the week and just sort of model for the rest of our folks of this is what it looks like, et cetera. Planted several others. And then the sixth one we planted, I got the opportunity as well. And that one I was more intentional. I'm talking about, hey, we're not talking about calling you to denomination, any of that sort of thing. We're talking about going from darkness into light. We're talking about salvation here. And so, man, the Lord blessed that. And we saw a lot of people in that village come to faith in Christ. And so we left that one and drove about 3 hours late in the afternoon, the evening, and raced to this one I'm going to show you in just a moment. And we get to this village. Before we get there, man, the rains had come. it had poured. One of our guys was in the back of a pickup, and man, he got drenched, and a lot of the native guys were laughing at him, all this sort of thing. We get to the village. We have a blowout on the front tire, and there's just a lot going on. And so finally it settled down. We're able to get out. The chief comes out, and this was one of the more active chiefs that I've seen in terms of this situation. So he comes out, and he's setting up some of the chairs and benches and all that sort of thing, and he's going around telling people to come. And next thing you know, we have a crowd that is gathered. And so let me show you this picture here in this village. And so you can, it's hard for you to see, but there are a lot of people in this village. This top right corner, this lighter color building, that's where the chief lives. It's pretty common that the chief will live almost in the center of the village. And everybody else's house will be square, rectangular, hut, whatever, you know, it'll be, the chief's village will be, or the chief's house will be round. And so this is a round structure there. That's where he lived. He's sitting over in these crowd of men. Most of the men are on the left-hand side of this picture. He's sitting there in his chief's chair. But then you'd see, man, a lot of kids, and our team is here on the right. And so, I mean, there's probably 250. It's one of the bigger villages I've been in the last few years. 250 folks. And there's a lot of people behind me that you can't see. That sort of just listening off in the back. But Brooks, a campus pastor, one of Chad's guys, he is sharing the gospel. He's in the middle there sharing the gospel right now. And man, I'm just telling you that it was evident that God had led us there, and the Spirit of God was there, and he presents the gospel. And the video I'm going to show you in just a moment is, and so how this goes is I share the gospel, hand it off to one of the guys, and Pastor Francis says, if you want to receive Christ for salvation, this is in summary of what he says, I want you to raise your hand. And man, hands went up all over this gathering. He said, hey, if you want to surrender your life to Christ, stand up right where you're at. And so, of course, some of them are already standing, and so holding the hand up, and says, hey, I want you to come. And by the hands raised, all that sort of stuff, you'll see in a moment, all of our team, we had to pick up and move back because there wasn't enough room. Everybody, I mean, it was essentially the whole village came forward and said, we want to receive Christ. And amen. Now, here in just a second, I'm going to show you a video, and let me tell you what's happening before you watch it, because you're not going to be able to understand a word, but you're going to understand what's happening. And they all come forward, and a lot of times in Africa, whenever they pray, they raise their hands, okay? And so what Pastor Francis does, they've all come forward. He is, again, explaining what they're doing, and this is what he said. If you want to pray to receive Christ, you want to accept Jesus for salvation, raise your hands and pray with me. And he leads them in repenting of their sins and placing their faith and trust in Christ. And I'm telling you, it's as close to the sound of heaven as I've ever heard. And so I'm going to play this video, and I hope it moves your heart like it did mine. Man, if that don't excite your heart, there's something wrong with you. Man, listen. That's why we pray. That's why we give. And that's why we go. Folks, I'm telling you, nobody else is going to this village. Ghana, and all over the world are pockets of people who are waiting to hear the gospel of Jesus. Did any of you mamas, you see the babies hanging on the backs? Any of y'all see that? How many of you know that baby's life just changed because a mama gave her heart and life to Jesus? God allowed us to spend about 14 hours total spending time training and investing in church leaders and pastors, women that are leaders in the church. Allowed us to spend about 14 hours training them. Lord allowed us to plant 7 new churches and allowed us to see some 500 people place their faith and trust in Christ. Amen. Man, I'm telling you, God be glorified. And so I just want to encourage you in this. Mission trips, even short-term mission trips, change lives. They not only change the lives of individuals like what you just saw, but they change you. And so I can't urge you enough that if you're physically able and if you've never been on a mission trip, determine now to go on a mission trip. I don't care if it's to Memphis. I don't care if it's to South Arkansas. Cross the ocean. Let's go to Ghana next year. It changes you. And it's a good thing. It's a reminder. Man, I was blessed this morning just worshiping the Lord together, just thinking about the time of this past week. And man, it just does something. Lord ministers to you. I was able to go and preach in a community called Luing. And man, just a strong established church. And so Matt and I were able to go there, and they gave me the honor of preaching to them, and that was a lot of fun. It was just a great time. You'll appreciate this, and then I'll preach. Okay, one of the trainings we got done, and so they brought us a love offering for training and spending time with them, and so they brought us some yams. I should have put this picture up there, but then they looked at Matt and handed him a guinea they had caught and tied up, and I don't know if you know this, it's not really Matt's thing, and so he was a little hesitant, but none of us were going to accept that. We're going to make sure Matt got to hold it and all that kind of thing, and so anyway, I'll try to post a picture later and let you see him. He looks a little apprehensive of holding the guinea there, so after he had seen him catch it and tie it up and break the wing so it couldn't get away and all that sort of thing, and so anyway, it was a lot of fun. Just a great trip, and thank you again so much for praying, for giving so that we can go. And so I'm grateful for you. All right, the book of Luke, chapter 22. I'm going to preach verses 39 on down through verse 46. And the title of the message is Truth of Prayer. And so I want to share with you some truths about prayer this morning. So if you found your place and you're willing and you're able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? The Bible says this. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he arose up from prayer, and he had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your word. God, I pray that you be glorified in our time together. Lord, give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Fill me, Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to share with you some truth about prayer. I posted yesterday that it was a long day of travel. I was just thinking a moment ago, if you count the time we were in a vehicle or in a plane from traveling from Pondai to Accra, and then we fly out of Accra, and we went through Amsterdam, and then Atlanta, and then here to Little Rock. If you count the travel time alone, it's somewhere around 25 hours that you're in a plane or a vehicle or on a ferry to get back to home. And so I posted yesterday that I need to make sure you guys came rested up because we both can't fall asleep, all right? So there's only room for one of us to fall asleep. So the truth about prayer, Jesus is headed to the cross in Luke 22. He has come into the holy city. He has had the time of the Lord's Supper with his disciples, and now he knows the betrayer is coming. He is coming. He's going to be arrested. And so he has this moment, this time of prayer that the Word of God gives us this glimpse into. The main idea this morning is this, is that God desires for his followers to experience the importance of prayer. God desires for his believers to experience the importance of prayer. So the question then this morning is this, is how important is prayer in your life? How important is prayer in your life? Now, I'm sharing this morning from a position of going, I in no way am an expert on this. Matter of fact, I genuinely may need this message this morning more than anybody in the room. I confess before you the struggle of my life oftentimes is not as much as it is the discipline of reading the Word of God as it is the discipline of spending time in prayer. And so I just confess before you this morning, it's my struggle. And so I need this morning, the truth of this, as much as anybody in the room. And so pray that God will help us both to learn this morning and to apply it to our lives. And so there's some truth this morning I want to share with you. Number one, prayer was regular for Jesus. Prayer was a regular activity for Jesus. Prayer should be regular for us. And so the idea that we see this regular activity take place, and there's two aspects of this I want us to see. A, regular practice. This regular practice. Notice verse 39. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed. There it is. Mark or underline that. As he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. This was not brand new to Jesus. This wasn't just Jesus praying in a time of crisis, right? At times we're guilty of that, are we not? That our prayer life becomes a little bit stagnant. It comes a little bit MIA. It's not anywhere to be found. But then when a crisis hits, all of a sudden we hit the panic button and we jump in the prayer closet. The doctor gives a bad report. The phone call rings and the phone rings and the call's not good or whatever the case is. The boss comes in and gives bad news. Like when tragedy or difficulty strike, oftentimes that motivates us and drives us to our knees. That was not the case for Jesus. He's not just praying because he knows the betrayer's coming. Not just praying because he knows, man, he's fixing to surrender and give his life up so that you and I can be saved. We see this throughout the life and ministry of Jesus that he was regularly praying. And church, we need to learn from that this morning. That needs to be the pattern of our life, that we don't just need to be prayer warriors when the war comes, but we need to be ready. We need to be prayed up. Needs to be a regular activity for us. He sets the model. Luke 5:16 said, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Luke 6:12, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. You remember 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing is the command that Paul gives. And so I just wonder this morning, what is your prayer life? Is it regular? Or is it intermittent? Is it periodic? And yes, I understand this is Jesus, but he's the model that we have. So I just wonder this morning, church, what's your prayer life like? Is it regular? And if it's not, can I encourage you, it needs to be a regular practice in your life. So not only was it a regular practice, it was regularly private. He often spent private times of prayer. Notice verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed. You know, the disciples were with him. He took some of them with him, and they're there praying. And so he sort of separates himself. He goes off by himself to pray. See, here's what's fascinating about this is that, you know, you can get the Bible app and you can listen to the audio of the Bible, or you can find different ways to take in the Scripture. You can take it in collectively, all that sort of thing. And there certainly is a level of corporate prayer that we need to be mindful of. I'll even talk some about that this morning. But let me tell you, dear friend, your prayer life is as strong as your private prayer time is. But are you getting in the prayer closet? Are you spending time alone? Nobody can do your praying for you. And so Jesus has this regular pattern and habit of prayer, but he also, as a part of that, he regularly goes off by himself to spend time in prayer. Luke 6 tells us of this, of 12 and 13. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, continued all night in prayer to God, and when it was day, he called the disciples to himself. And there he chose 12, who also named apostles. Why does he call them? Because he was by himself. He spent time alone with the Father. Luke 9:18, it happened as he was alone praying. The disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" He spent time alone in prayer. Now listen, I some of you I can hear and understand, and some of y'all are in a little different season of life now, that especially I've thought about this often for my own life. At one time, we had 3 children under the age of 5. And so I can hear my wife now going, "Yeah, when am I alone, bud?" because any alone time was sleep time. That was the only option you had. And so I get there's seasons of life where this becomes more difficult for folks, a work schedule or home life, whatever it is. But I just need to encourage you, do all that you can to establish a regular rhythm of prayer in your life, that it's 2 things. It's a regular practice and it's private. Find a place that you can be alone with the Lord, whether it's a, you know, War Room, the movie, the Kendrick Brothers came out, and man, a lot of people built their own war room. They cleaned out a closet that they had, a place they could go and get alone with the Lord. And man, that's a great idea. That's a great way to go about it. It may be that, and you've got a big yard, or you got some land or something, and you go find a stump to sit on. That's your quiet place. That's your place where you spend that. It's not about the place that you do it. It's about spending time privately and regularly with the Lord Jesus and spending time in prayer. Okay, and so we're just talking about some truths of prayer this morning. That's it. Just looking at the life and ministry of Jesus, going, man, Chris, you got to have some time where you're alone with the Lord, some time where you're spending time in prayer, and it's a regular practice. So prayer was regular. It must be regular for us. Number 2, prayer should be specific for us. So it's got to be private for us, but it's also got to be specific. So let's look together. There are, again, 2 truths, even within this, 2 aspects of this specific nature of praying that we need to see. A, specific for His followers. Jesus prayed specifically for His followers, or specific for others. Okay? So notice this, verse 40. When He had come to the place, He said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." So Jesus is giving His disciples directions on how they ought to pray. From the seat of Jesus, it also gives lens into how He is likely praying. Now we see that He's praying about the upcoming crucifixion and the moment that He has, but it also has to be outwardly focused. We see in John 17, He's praying for others. He's not only praying for His disciples, but He's also praying for you and I, the future disciples that would come. And so part of your praying needs to be praying for other people, lifting one another up. That's part of how we bear one another's burdens. And we pray for one another. Man, you know, Miss Martha shared this morning just some, man, tragedy as part of her, some of her extended family and just terrible situation. Man, they need prayer. Linda Garrett's mom just last night went home to be with the Lord. She and her family need prayer. And man, there are just so many, as I look around the room and just think so many about our lives and things that we need to spend time praying for. And church family, we need to be praying for one another. So look around this morning. There's maybe it's vacation, maybe it's other reasons. There's some empty places around us that remind us of particular people, and we need to pray for them. Maybe they're enjoying some time away, or maybe they've gotten away from the Lord. There's a multitude of reasons to pray for one another. Specifically, he says, pray here that you may not enter into temptation. Pray for the walk and relationship of others. So, A, pray for others. And we see Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, and we often call this the Lord's Prayer, but it probably is more accurately the model prayer. I don't think it's so much as intended for us to recite this before or after some game or as a part of some practice that we do. Not necessarily that reciting Scripture is ever bad, per se, given the right context, but the idea that this gives us a model, gives us a sense of some things that we need to be praying about. And so listen, in the rest of verse 2, 3, and 4, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What's he doing? He's spending time worshiping the Lord when he prays. But he's spending time worshiping the Lord, honoring God. And he goes on, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. And we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so praying about the walk with the Lord and lifting one another up. And so A, specific for others, but then B, specific for himself. Even Jesus prayed for himself in his own situation. Notice verse 42. Jesus says here, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. It's a submission to the will of God. But he's praying even for himself. And so, believers, we need to be praying for one another, but also spend time praying for ourselves. John 12:27 says, Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. This is Jesus speaking. And in Hebrews 5:7-8, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And man, there's so much there in that couple of verses in Hebrews. We don't have time to jump into that this morning, but nonetheless, it gives us a peek into his earnest wrestling in this moment. That it's not a question of whether he's going to be obedient to the Father or not, but man, he's just spending time before the Lord. And we see the weakness of his flesh and how he's praying. He's not only praying for himself, but he's praying for others. And so our prayer time needs to be specific. And what do I mean by that, man? Just that as we pray, we've got to move beyond and move past just the time of prayers going, hey, will you bless our church? God be with them. And listen, it's not that those things are bad or those prayers are bad. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm just telling you this morning is we pray for one another, pray for things in our life. God is a big God. He can handle the things going on in our life. And God can deal with our specific prayers and address those. And God can meet our needs. And we got done training in one of the largest villages. We did doing some pastor training and some leadership training. And there were folks everywhere, and I was just going, hey, is there a church here? Because this is a large community, a large village, and Yes, and we ended up sharing the gospel there and seeing a handful of children come to faith in Christ. But they came to us and said, hey, before you leave, we want to show you something. We want to ask you to pray. And so we walked a little ways, walked down this path and this road, and I posted a picture of this, but it was this. We walked up to this land, and man, it was overgrown and one path going through it, and it's these, imagine a cinder block made by hand, okay? And then walls built about that high and a few passageways that could be doors. And it was about maybe the size of one of these sections, if it was that big. And what they said is, hey, the chief essentially has given us this plot of ground and we want to build a church here. And they said, hey, will you pray that God blesses this and that his church will grow? Hey, that's a specific prayer request. We ought to be praying about those things. Our last day of ministry, we went to Accra, and Accra is some 3 million people. And then we went into the slums. In the northern region, we worked with the Kakumba people, is the tribe that they're a part of in that region, and the Kakumba people. And there's a lot of those folks have moved to Accra. They've gone south to Accra to look for jobs and just trying to make a little bit more money and have a little bit better quality of life. But many of them end up in what is effectively is the slums of Accra. And it is an awful, awful quality of life place. But we go in at night and there's a church that is planted there. And so we go in and we're sitting in this their building, and their building is about as wide as this first two or three pews here, about that wide. I mean, you can sit three chairs on one side, have an aisle, and two on the other. Okay, that's how big it is. And it's maybe about as long as one of these sections, not quite that long. And it's just, they've got one light in there, and they have a few fans, rather. One of our guys, he had a tambourine, shaking the tambourine while they were singing, all that sort of stuff. And anyway, he ended up having to go outside because about overheated. I mean, it's just hot. And we got toward the end, they asked me to come up and pray for him. Before I prayed, Pastor Mark goes, hey, we're meeting tomorrow with the guy that we pay the least for this place for us to be here. But we're praying that God will give us a bigger place that we can reach more people, because it was packed. It was full. You couldn't put any more people in there. And I think God can handle those prayer requests. God can handle our asking of big prayers. I think oftentimes we limit God. We're afraid to ask specific things. We're afraid to ask God for big things. And so he was specific as he prayed. All right? And then number three, prayer should be strengthening for us. Ought to be a regular rhythm to our prayer. Prayer can be specific. What are you asking God for? What are you trusting God for? What are you believing God for? But then it was strengthening for Jesus. Notice verse 43 and 44. Then the angel appeared to him from heaven. Look at this, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When did, man, God minister to him? God ministered to his own son. Is he here? What's he doing? He's praying. I mean, oftentimes we get weary and we get burned out and we get burdened down and we struggle with issues of life and we don't know if we can keep going. We don't know if we can continue on. I think oftentimes it's because prayer is absent in our lives. If we spend time in prayer, that God does something supernatural in and through that we can't really explain, we can't fully understand. Because notice this, that as Jesus is praying, what's getting ready to happen? He's getting ready to be betrayed. He's getting ready to be treated like a criminal. He's going to go to the cross and he's going to die. Notice what did not happen. God did not take his circumstances away from him. He didn't take the adversity away. He didn't take the hardship and the trial coming away from him. But rather, he strengthened him and he gave him an increase and a resolve to follow the plan and purposes of God. Listen to me, church. Sometimes we're so desperate, or we get in a situation where we're praying and we're faithful. facing adversity and all we want is God to move us. But listen, let me tell you, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what you're facing, but I'm telling you this because I've experienced it. Many of you can testify, man, if you'll wear the carpet out on your knees, I'm not going to promise you that God's going to change the circumstances, but man, He'll give you strength. He'll give you some resolve. He'll give you some holy backbone that you can follow through and be faithful to the Lord God, and He'll sustain you. Man, He'll give you strength. Man, I know because I've seen it in my own life. Many of you know because you've seen it in your own life. You didn't know how you're going to have another day. You didn't know how you're going to feed your kids. Didn't know how you were going to provide for them. Man, I just spent time with folks that are in the slums and they're begging God to do what only He can do. And they're not shying away from following Jesus and their circumstances aren't necessarily changed. But they've got as much commitment to the Lord Jesus as I've ever seen. Bible says that, man, angel of God came and strengthened him. He was faithful to carry on. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Anybody identify that? That the flesh is weak? But friend, I'm telling you, God will strengthen you. God will do what no man can do. God will do what no program can do. God will do things in your life through spending time with Him that is unexplainable. But you know what? We've got to give Him the opportunity to. We've got to put ourselves in a position that God can do that. Because I'm fully convinced He wants to. We just need to spend time with Him. Prayer ought to be strengthening for us. And then number five, prayer should be supernatural for us. Similarly, notice verse 45 and 46. And when He rose up from prayer and came to His disciples, He found them sleeping from sorrow. They're asleep. They're overwhelmed. Situation looks dire. Why? Because the one they believe, trust to be the Messiah, the Son of God, the Christ, the one they've been waiting for, the one that they've heard about and read about. They've been spending time with Him for some 3 years. And now He's telling them that He is going to be betrayed and He is going to die. And He's telling them He's going to be raised from the grave, but they haven't quite picked it up yet. And so they're overwhelmed. They don't know what to do. And oftentimes what the enemy leads us to do is to avoid, not to run to the Lord. And so the Bible says that they're asleep because they're sorrowful. But listen to what Jesus tells them in verse 46. And He said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Isn't it interesting? Jesus is saying, hey, you need to get up and pray so that you don't even get into temptation. Now let me chase a rabbit, we're going to chase it back here, okay? All right? Temptation is not sin in your life. Okay? Temptation is the raising up of something that is giving you an opportunity to sin against God. The temptation in and of itself is not the sin. It's what you do with that temptation that is sin. Everybody with me? I promise you, I'm going somewhere. All right? Let me tell you what happens for us. Let me just say, for me, is that oftentimes I don't spend time in the Word and in prayer as I ought to. And next thing you know, I find myself in some sin that I've got no business, nothing to be a part of. In the middle of that, now I'm crying out for God's help. Did you catch what Jesus is telling them? Saying, hey, boys, hey, get up and pray so that you don't enter into temptation. He said, hey, I want you to be proactive about this rather than, man, and wasting your time, being distracted with other things and not being as diligent as you should. And then what's going to happen is you're going to face temptation. Then you're going to get away from me. You're going to be you're going to be living in sin. You're going to have your pet sin. You're going to have your struggles. And then you're going to beg for me to help, saying, hey, won't you get up and pray now so that you don't even get to the temptation part? Now listen, understand, I'm not preaching holy perfectionism here this morning that man, the only time we're going to be perfect is when we graduate to heaven. But I am telling you that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be more like Jesus. Man, you can live a holy life, a life that honors the Lord Jesus. And what he's saying right here is there is supernatural power to be had. Why are you fighting in your flesh? That oftentimes we fall victim and defeated to things. And the Lord God is here, the Spirit of God here, saying, listen, you can have as much of me as you want, as much of me as what you need, but here you are neglecting it. Oh me. Oh me. And so friend, can I encourage you this morning? And what's your prayer life like? No, really. Let's pull off the Sunday morning stuff, okay? Let's take away the Sunday school answers. And just for a moment right here, just between you and the Lord, pull back the curtains. What's your prayer life like? Somebody says, hey, pray for me. And amen. Just in a few seconds, we, even in our mind, we pray for them and we go about our day. What's your prayer life like? When's the last time you wore out a pair of pants because the knees had holes in them? You're spending time in prayer. When's the last time your pages of your Bible has been wet because you're weeping over somebody who's lost and needs to be saved? When's the last time your heart was gripped going, he's got to get done preaching because I need to get on the altar and pray? When's the last time you grabbed a hold of the altar of God and the hem of his garment and said, God, I need you. I need you. Let me just share with you from this pastor's heart. I need a rekindling and reworking of my own prayer life. But our church needs a rekindling and a reworking of our prayer lives. I was even thinking about for this message, what application, what challenge do I leave with you? I challenge you for the next 2 weeks to spend 15 more minutes in prayer. You know what? I don't have any of that. I just want you to sit just for a moment before the Lord. God, what is it you're calling me to this morning? What change do I need to make to my prayer life? To spend time with you on a regular basis. To be praying specifically. Where am I looking for my strength from? And what supernatural grace and power are you wanting to give me? What change do I need to make? As a church, corporately. Because let me just say this. Our church's corporate prayer life will only be as strong as we are individually. We can't fabricate something when we come together and pray if we're not spending time privately in prayer. Does that make sense? And so we need prayer warriors in the prayer closet on a regular basis. But then I'm asking you, praying, would you join me in praying, God, we need prayer warriors to step up in our church. The recipient list on our prayer chain doesn't need to necessarily get longer. It's okay if it does. That's not a bad thing. But I'm talking about folks that are going to spend time earnestly with the Lord in prayer. People that are going to get together and beg God to do what only He can in our lives, in the life of our church. I will lay this out before you. In 70 days, 10 weeks from today, Evangelist Sam Moore is scheduled to come and preach a revival meeting Sunday through Wednesday here at our church. It's a Sunday morning service, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. Here's what I know without a doubt, and you do too. You can't schedule revival. God doesn't work on our timeline. My hope and prayer, any time that I do that, is that the evangelist comes and revival's already happened. He just gets to get in on it. But here's what I know, is that we won't experience a fresh move of God if we're not praying for it. If we're not begging God for that. And so I'm just sharing with you now, we're going to have some emphasis of prayer coming up. Emphasis of prayer where we get together and we pray collectively, we pray corporately. Some of our prayer services have some times where we have in-home cottage prayer meetings leading up to that. Maybe some 24-hour prayer windows where we sign up for 30-minute time slots and come and pray for 24 hours leading up to. Some emphasis of praying for lost people, friends and community, all that sort of. There's just so much. But I'm convinced before we can do any of that, we got to draw the circle and get in it. And God, what is it you're calling me to do in prayer? What is it you're challenging me to do? What changes do I need to make personally that I might be more effective in prayer? How can these truths help me? And so that's the invitation this morning. If you would just simply join me in praying, God, how do I need to apply this message from the Word of God to my life? And I believe God will give you some specific directions. I think He'll challenge you in some ways. If you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, there's forgiveness at the cross. There is salvation to be found. And so we're going to pray in just a moment. I'm going to invite you down. If you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, during that time of response, you come, Pastor Chris, I need to be saved. If you're a believer and you want to join me and others, it is asking God, what is it you want me to do? I'm going to invite you to come. If you will, bow your head and close your eyes with me. God in heaven, I pray, Lord, God, you'd speak to us. Pray if there's anybody here who's lost and needs to be saved. God, I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would work in their life and they would come. And God, I pray that you would stir in the heart of every believer here. That we would ask you, Lord, what is it you're wanting to do in our heart and our life? God, you work in these next few moments. Give us a focus, I pray. In Jesus' name. The invitation is simple this morning. God spoke to your heart. And you would join me and others here just asking God, God, what is it you want to do? If you need to be saved, you come. You need somebody to pray for you, you come. You can pray right where you're at. But if God stirred your heart and you want to spend time at the front here, you come now.
I know who you are, the cross of salvation.